fence, books and pens. I can tell that we are gonna be friends. I can tell that we are gonna be friends.
It's Bill and Wendy, we're friends.
Yep.
I'd have your back for something. I'm a good friend.
Yes.
We don't hang out, no. But I care deeply for you.
Sure.
What about you with me?
You're all right.
That's what I figured. A lot of times you have friendships and you don't know if they're mutual, so we're about to find out. Dr. Suzanne Deggs-White is on the line with us, and she is the professor and chair of the Department of Counseling, Adult and Higher Education at NIU Northern Illinois University, right here in DeKalb, Illinois. Hi, Dr. Suzanne. How are you?
I am well, Wendy. Thanks so much. Good morning.
Good morning. It appears I am a better friend than Bill is to me.
By far. Not even close.
I you know, like to look out for him. He likes me to go in the elevator first in case the elevator should fall.
Yes. That's what friends do.
I mean, I really thought he was a good friend, in all seriousness. There are friends that you think you're pretty tight with, and then ultimately, you realize that maybe they're not such a good friend. Why don't you build on this a little bit?
Yeah, it's really interesting. In a recent study, it turned out that only about half of the friendships that we perceive we have with people actually are mutual friendships.
Half.
And a lot of times, we kind of project. We assume we want people to like us. And unless we have evidence to the contrary, we're likely to assume that people like us as much as we like them.
How can half?
That seems
that
startling.
So high.
It is an amazing number. But if you think about how you define a friendship, you know, there are levels of friendship. We have acquaintances. Then we have friendships of convenience. We have activity friends. And sometimes our perception of what a friend is or what a friend would do for another may be so far off the mark for another person that what we think is, you know, oh, they're our awesome best friend. We see them every Tuesday when we go to spin class. But they may be thinking, you know, spin class is a tiny part of my life. But, you know, my good friends are the ones I hang out and get together with for drinks or for lunch.
But now, so conversely, I have to tell you that I have some friends that I've been friends with since sixth grade, Bill since first grade,
yeah,
or kindergarten.
First grade. Yeah.
And those are the friends that if something's really going wrong in my life, I can ask their advice. I can open up with them. So that's how, in my opinion, you can determine whether or not it's a true friend.
You know, you're right about that. Friendships are like these little mini social exchange economies. And when we start out getting to know someone, we're both kind of having to invest, to ante up in the friendship. It doesn't just magically happen usually. We have to put a little bit into the relationship, and do they meet what we put in? Are the stakes getting higher? And sometimes friendships that are built up over time, over years, your friends have proven themselves to you through the decades. And so you no longer keep a scorecard saying, well, I did this, but they did that. There's no more tit for tat. You just know that you're going to get back what you need from the relationship without worrying about the scorecard between you and a friend.
Suzanne, a woman I used to work with told me this, and please tell me she's wrong. She said in every relationship, whether it's two friends or a romantic relationship or even a husband and wife, in every relationship, there's one giver and one taker. That
right.
can't there's- be right, can it?
Well, you know, there's another way of looking at it. There's someone who invests more in the relationship than the other person. There's someone who, and the person that invests less, the taker, actually has more power in a relationship than the giver does. And it's something you see working as a counselor with married couples and couples in general and families. There's always this measure of who has the power, and the person with the least investment in a relationship actually holds more of the power.
Say that again.
The person who has the least investment in a relationship generally has more power.
But in a good relationship, since we're talking about friendships, let's stick with friendships. Doesn't that change from not just day to day, but incident to incident? Don't you find yourself on both sides of it? It's like a fluctuating
yeah. give and take.
Yeah.
Right. It is, and that's what makes the difference between a good friend and then kind of those friends of acquaintance or friends of convenience, because you're not keeping score. So someone probably does give more today, but tomorrow they're going to need you to be there for them when they send up the SOS call. So right, but there, yeah, in early relationships, there's going to be one person who's generally more invested than the other, and that's when we get burnt. When we're giving a lot and feel like we're not getting back what we're giving. But in long-term friendships, your friends from sixth grade, you know they're going to be there for you
sure.
when you call out.
Yeah, but we mentioned long-term friendships. So my question that I pose to you, let's just say the friend expert, Dr. Suzanne Deggs White, can you make new friends?
You know, you mean throughout, we can make new friends, but over time, the older we get, the fewer good friends we're likely to have in our life. But sometimes, you know, there are people that you meet and right away you just kind of hit it off. And it's kind of like love at first sight. Sometimes there's friendship at first sight. Somebody gets you and you know they get you. And it can be amazing when you're an adult and you have this really brand new close friend who you just really enjoy being around. I think about there was a little online video about two elderly women who met each other at a retirement home and became best friends. And it was, you know, they're both in their 90s. So it's never too late to make new friends.
All of my best friends are women in their 90s. What's wrong with that?
There we go. Nothing's wrong with that. Nothing's wrong with that.
That's because you're a taker.
Yes, I am. All right. So what is the best way? Let's say you're in one of these friendships and you say to yourself, boy, all I do is help that guy out. All I do is come to his aid and rescue all the time, and I'm not really feeling it on the other end. What's wrong with just cutting bait and going, this friendship's not working out anymore?
Hey, sometimes that's the best thing to do. When some of us are going to be really upfront and say, you know, I feel like I've been putting in more than you have in the relationship, and it just doesn't feel good anymore. Others of us are going to be unreachable. A lot of times people will stop answering their texts.
Yeah.
They won't be available. And really, and if it's a friendship that's, you know, kind of newish and you feel like, well, you know, it seems like they're always busy now, sometimes it's good for us to take the hint and step back from the pursuit. Because, you know, in bad romantic relationships, there can be a pursuer and a pursued. And sometimes you've got to take the hint, like, they're just not into me. And when a friend just isn't that into you, unless there's some significant reason, if you've crossed a line or if you've maybe hurt that friend and need to address that, sometimes we have to acknowledge not everyone, not every friend will be that forever friend.
Do you ever want to say, either to that person or just yourself, I'm going to give this guy one more chance. This guy gets one more chance, and if this one is out, then he's done. Do you ever say that?
A lot of us will say that, but then a lot of us women are often suckers thinking, you know, I want to help that person. I can help this person change. This person's going through a rough time. I can make their life better. Women, we're nurturers, and it's hard for a lot of us to say no more. Guys sometimes seem to have an easier time of backing off because their friendships are usually activity friends versus, you know, deep, dark secret sharing, the gossip kind of friends.
Yeah, because men don't usually share their souls like women do. I can pick up a stranger on the street and share my soul with them, and they usually walk away, but men don't do that.
No, men don't want to go deep. In fact, some research in a book I was researching, when men are asked to think about their feelings or talk about their feelings, the pain center in their brains lights up as if they were experiencing physical pain. So men's friendships and their deep, dark, you know, secret sharing, it's going to look a lot different than what women might do.
But maybe that's the difference for us between a true friend and just kind of a residual friend. There's a circle of guys that I would say almost anything to. I wouldn't hold back in anything, but it's a select few, you know?
Right. That you vetted them, you know, they're good, that you know that you can trust them, because trust is really important in friendships. That trust and that mutual support. And if it's not a mutual relationship, or if they don't feel comfortable opening up to you, you're probably going to sense that it's not safe opening up to them. So that makes perfect sense.
All right. Dr. Suzanne Deggs White on the line with us. You had mentioned that out of our friendships, 50% of them are not really our friends, and someone has just texted in, that 50% thing really hurts. I only have two friends, that means I only have one.
Oh, no.
No. That's no. We're not going to that place. If you know, it's just in general, if you went into an office and said, which of your colleagues are your friends, you would probably overestimate how many of them were your friends. And friendship is based on two people both acknowledging the friendship exists. That's what the measure in the research study was, is that, you know, list your friends, and then where two people both listed the other as their friend, that's the qualification of a friendship. So if the person that just texted in, if this person says these other people put them on the list, and they've got two friends. It's mutuality of a friendship has to be present or the friendship doesn't exist.
I have two boys, and I'm not going to say which one says this to me all the time, but he always says, I don't have any friends. And then anytime we're out in public, everyone always says, hi, hi, hi. I said, people like hanging with you. It's just, it's a mutual thing. You have to put some effort in, too. And if people call you and you don't want to go out, they stop calling you.
And that, you know, that's sometimes kids have a harder time building friendships, especially today with the internet and the potential for online bullying and all the things that happen between kids. They happen at light speed. And so relationships can be a little scarier now than they were earlier. And it is, you have to put something into a relationship for the relationship to really, to exist.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We have some listeners who have some friendship questions. 312-981-7200 is the number to call. We are chatting with Dr. Suzanne Deggs-White, professor, Department of Counseling at Northern Illinois University. I was friends with a Husky once.
Oh.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN.
My father taught me many things here. He taught me in this room. He taught me, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
Solid advice from the Corleone family, Wendy.
How about it?
Yep.
Dr. Suzanne Deggs-White is on the line with us, and she is a professor and chair of the Department of Counseling, Adult and Higher Education at Northern Illinois University. And you are also the recent author of Toxic Friendships. And I think, Bill, you were talking about that a little bit, too. If you know it's not a mutual friendship, it's time to bail, maybe.
Yeah. Don't you think, doctor, as painful as that can be, sometimes you just say to yourself, I'm not really getting as much out of this as I should be.
Absolutely, and there's nothing wrong with that. Not every friendship is meant to last a lifetime. So, you know, when the relationship's no longer giving back to you, if it were a romantic relationship, would you stick with a relationship where you weren't getting what you need?
No.
We have to honor our friendships the way we honor romantic relationships and protect ourselves.
Yep, makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
All right. So friendships are something that you really need to work on. And I think people use the term friend very loosely. Like I will listen to people and they'll go, oh, my friend at work. Are they really your friend or is it my coworker?
I think with how many followers do y'all have on Twitter? How many Instagram followers do you have? How many friends on Facebook? We've begun to measure friendship in a way that it never would have been measured before. And we feel that a bigger social network is better. But the limits to how many relationships one person can keep up is not, you know, 722 followers. It's usually just two or three really good friends.
Well, doesn't that have to do with Facebook's wording? I mean, they chose to use the word friend when really, if the definition of a friend is what I think it is, Facebook's definition is very, it just means it's a blind acquaintance.
Yeah, it's blind acquaintance because I'm sure, you know, all of us have friends on Facebook we've never met or friends of friends. And so we have this idea that we're all connected. And sure, we are all connected. We do, at light speed, we can communicate ideas, thoughts, pictures, images, sunset pictures 40 times over.
What you had for dinner?
Yeah, what we had for dinner. We can Instagram. Yeah, we know what it looks like to dine in fine restaurants. We know these things. But we're not, it's more like information that's being shared. So really, rather than, you know, friendships, it's almost like, instead of friends, it's almost like informants on Facebook. How many informants on Facebook do you have?
That's why, Suzanne, on Facebook, I've developed a test. About once a month, I ask all my Facebook friends if I can borrow money. I just throw out a sum of money.
Yeah, there you go.
And then you know who your friends are.
Well, you know who your friends are, and how many people whose pages you follow would you want to loan them to have there?
Right.
Friendship is, you know, acquaintances, coworkers, colleagues. I mean, there are a lot of words we could use that are much more accurate than friend, but we've kind of twisted the word friend to mean anybody that we remotely could claim a connection to. 6 degrees of friendship, what can I say?
All right, I have to read a text that really makes me sad, and I hope I don't get anyone in trouble, but you've texted, so of course I'm going to read it. Listening to your program, I just realized that a friend of mine for the past 28 years is not really a friend. Mm. She's going through a bad divorce and has been living with me for several months, but I'm beginning to feel used, and she locks herself in her bedroom and really does not mix with the rest of us. That doesn't seem like a good friend.
No, it doesn't. It seems like someone who's needier than the other person, someone who's a taker, and it sounds like the person that texts has been a really loyal supporter and giver for many, many years. And it can be hard to say, I need to talk about this relationship. You know, and we know that these conversations seldom end as well as we would like them to. But there comes a time when our resources are exhausted. We have to take care of ourselves so that we can be there for other people who warrant our investment.
So if you were counseling this listener, you would say it's time to bring this up and discuss this and maybe release her to her own business.
Put her on the waiver wire.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Trader.
Absolutely. Yeah. There you go. Sometimes we have to have unpleasant conversations and we have to really discuss these things, because when it's like a counselor, if they care more about the client's well-being than the client does, that's a bad thing. So when a friend cares a lot more about the friend than the friend cares about the relationship, that's not a good thing either. The investment, you have to, in maybe the friendship has run its course, or maybe the friend can't be a friend at this point, and you need to take a little break.
We only have a minute, Doctor, but what do you make? There's a word that kind of came into play in the last 5 or 10 years, and the word is frenemy, combining the words friend and enemy, obviously. Is that accurate? That's a real thing, isn't it?
There are some people that we need to be friends with because they're part of our social circle, they're part of our work circle, whatever it might be. Because we can't, in toxic friendships, I talk about colleagues, so colleagues who are enemies, but you work for the same team.
Yeah.
So this exists. You know, sometimes our friends are not the kind of people we would really want to choose to spend time with. They may harm us, but if there's some greater reason to maintain the relationship, you sometimes have to learn where do you draw the line in the sand and make sure your boundaries are clear so you don't let yourself get walked on or otherwise hurt in the relationship.
All right. Her ongoing blog is going on at Psychology Today. Dr. Suzanne Deggs-White, she's a professor at Northern Illinois University, also the author of Toxic Friendships. I think in a nutshell, one of our listeners can sum it up best with a text that says, a friend will help you move. A good friend will help you move a body.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Absolutely. I totally concur.
Dr. Suzanne Deggs-White, an honor to meet you. Pleasure to meet you. Continued success in the future. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Wendy, for having me on this morning. Have a great day.
You as well.
A quick break, and then we'll find out what's coming up in the news. Stay where you are, Bill and Wendy on WGN.